Rashid Tlaib joins Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar as members of the squad who are under investigation. Former New York mayor and former Republican Michael Bloomberg has jumped into the race for president of the United States as a Democrat. And a new poll in a key battleground state has some interesting results for President Trump. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. We're going to get to the squad and Rashida Tlaib. But first, I want to talk about the Democrats, because this field that's running for president on the Democrat side, it's so bizarre, because normally as time goes on, the field shrinks. But in this case, every time someone drops out, like a Robert Francis O'Rourke, someone else jumps in. And now, former New York mayor, former Republican Michael Bloomberg, has jumped into the race for president, and he's running as a Democrat. And here's a report from the Washington Examiner. It says, Michael Bloomberg has entered the already crowded Democratic presidential field. Bloomberg 77 had earlier in November filed a statement of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission and has filed to appear on some state Democrat primary ballots that had early deadlines. But aides said at the time that the moves were formalities while deciding on launching a full campaign. So Bloomberg entering the race says a couple things. One, that his ego is just, it knows no limits. He's going to jump in, he's going to spend his money, and he's ready to go. And the other thing it says is that none of the Democrats, the current Democrats, have distinguished himself or herself. There's a message that is either too centrist, like Joe Biden, or who has come up as a centrist, but he gaffes and can't galvanize anybody, or they're so far to the left that they're alienating the middle. So no one has been able to bring them together, which leaves openings, which leaves opportunities for people like Bloomberg to swoop in, dump millions of dollars of his own money, and try and win the nomination. And here's more from the Washington Examiner. Bloomberg reportedly decided to join the presidential field after seeing former Vice President Joe Biden falter in early primary state polls and in fundraising, and is expected to skip the first four state nominating contests, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, and focus on winning delegates in Super Tuesday states holding contests on March 3rd and beyond. Several Democratic presidential candidates have accused Bloomberg of hoping to buy the presidency. Bloomberg released a statement through his website that said in part, "We cannot afford four more years of President Trump's reckless and unethical action." So if you check out that statement on his website, which I did, it's amazing that this person ever ran as a Republican, because it's the same left-wing talking points that are designed to stir up a base, a constituency, but it's based on false statements, just flat out wrong. And I just wanted to share a few of them with you from his own website. He says, "We have an economy that is tilted against most Americans." All right, well, that's just flat out wrong. And we've covered it on the show before. The Trump economy truly is lifting all boats. And in fact, in major economic indicators, the middle class is the group that's doing the best. Middle class wages are up. Unemployment rate is down. Retirement savings is going up for Americans. It is an economy, a Trump economy, that is doing well across the board. So this idea that it's only favoring one group is just flat out wrong. Next, he says, "We have communities ravaged by gun violence." Yeah, we do. And it has nothing to do with an AR-15 or some specific weapon that they're trying to take from people to confiscate, to ban, so that they can then just move on to the next one and chip away at the Second Amendment. This is a cultural issue, and it has to do with the degeneration of cities and communities that for decades have lived under Democrat rule. We're talking about Chicago and Baltimore and Oakland and Detroit, major crime areas, all run by Democrats. That's where the gun violence is occurring. That's where the shootings are occurring daily, every day, every weekend. In Chicago, there is enough shootings that could make a national story, yet it's never covered. So then Bloomberg adds this one. "We have an immigration system that is cruel and dysfunctional." Again, wrong. We have an immigration system that is the most welcoming in the entire world. We have always wanted people to come here that want to contribute to society and become part of the American fabric, to adopt the American culture, to be Americans. We welcome those people here. Now, we also have a big flood of illegal immigration, and it is a big problem because across those borders, in addition to people seeking a better life, we have drug traffickers, we have human smugglers, we have terrorists. We have to secure the border, and none of the Democrats, Bloomberg included, wants to do that. We have to fix our broken legal immigration system as well and have a comprehensive plan that addresses both security and in and out access for people that want to do it the right way. And none of the Democrats want to do that. And this is just more talk. So next, I want to get to the squad, all right? Because they share something in common. And it's not just the stuff we've heard before. All of them have embraced these far left ideas. They want to impose socialism on the American people, destroy economies, destroy jobs, break the bank, flood us with even more debt than we have now. But now they have something else in common, and that's corruption. That's investigation, because all of them, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez early on, Ilhan Omar with paying her, you know, on the side guy extra money from her campaign, they're under investigation for campaign finance violations, and so is Rashida Tlaib. And here's a report from the Daily Caller. The three most prolific members of the so-called squad of freshman Democrat congresswomen face allegations of violating campaign finance laws and House ethics rules for their personal or political benefit 10 months into their terms. The five members of the Office of Congressional Ethics Board voted unanimously in November to recommend the House Ethics Committee continue its investigation into whether Tlaib improperly diverted campaign funds for her personal use. All right, so yeah, so I guess Rashida Tlaib felt left out. You know, she just wanted to join in the investigations with AOC and Omar. And here's more. It says, House rules allowed candidates to receive a salary from their campaign up to what they earned the year prior to their campaign. However, they're only allowed to receive such payments until the date of their election. If Representative Tlaib converted campaign funds from Rashida Tlaib for Congress to personal use, or if Representative Tlaib's campaign committee expended funds that were not attributable to bona fide campaign and political purposes, then Representative Tlaib may have violated House rules, standards of conduct, and federal law, OCE said. So what's going on with these people? I mean, they say they represent the people, but they've already, in this short time, showed what most far leftists do, and that is adopt this elitist attitude that they know more, that they know what's right, and they're in charge. And you've seen it with AOC adopting this celebrity mentality, all while trying to impose socialism on us, and the corruption follows. So next, I want to go into some polling because there's some results that came out in a key battleground state, and that's Wisconsin. And the reason Trump was able to win in 2016 is because he was able to win states that no president in decades has been able to win. And in particular, I'm talking about Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That coalition of states was, it was just magic for President Trump. And you have to go back all the way to the Reagan-Bush era to find a presidential candidate that was able to win those states. Romney couldn't do it. McCain couldn't do it. George W. couldn't do it. Bob Dole couldn't do it. It was back in Bush 41 that won Michigan and Pennsylvania, and then you got to go back to Reagan to get Wisconsin. So the fact that those three went for President Trump is just absolutely amazing, and it's crucial that he win those states again. And here's a report from CNSnews.com. A new poll of Wisconsin voters shows that in the race for president, Donald Trump currently leads against the four top Democrats vying for their party's nomination: Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg. In addition, 53% of registered voters in Wisconsin say Trump should not be impeached, while 40% say he should. So the impeachment numbers, I want to talk about that real quick, because they fall in line with what we talked about on the last show. Voters are being turned off. Liz Peek over at Fox News has a great article that was out there today talking about the impeachment mess and how Democrats are getting shaky. Even Adam Schiff, the person who ramrodded this process through the House Intelligence Committee, came out this weekend and said that the evidence against President Trump is ironclad, yet we're still not sure how we're going to proceed or if we're going to proceed. And the reason he says that is because you've got 30-something Democrats in the House right now that represent districts that went for President Trump. Polls are going against impeachment, and they're freaking out. In addition, Democrats or Republicans are raising money like crazy over impeachment. In October, Republican National Committee raised over $25 million compared to $9 million for the Democrats. 25 to 9. Republicans have $61 million on hand. The Democrats are in debt right now. So it just shows that if the Democrats want to continue, we're going to rake it in. We're going to make money off of this thing. And you've got key members of your caucus who are sweating it out, thinking that if they pursue this, they're going to lose election. So if you think that's a good strategy, Democrats, go for it. So finally, I want to talk about what's going on in Hong Kong. Because as you know, there has been these uprisings, these protests going on all summer long, going on for months. And people are afraid. They are afraid of what China is going to do to take away their freedoms that they have grown up expecting from when they were under British rule. This has always been a kind of autonomous city that, despite communist rule in China, has grown up in a capitalist free market society. And China wants to impose more restrictions, and that's what's led to the protests that have gone on, some of them violent, and they continue. And so there were elections this weekend for government positions within Hong Kong, these districts. And it's the results were absolutely fascinating because despite all the protests, you still have the media, you know, kind of, and we saw this in the NBA, treading lightly with China. So you wonder what's really going on there. Is this pro-democracy sentiment spreading? Or will Beijing maintain its ironclad grip on even the local government that's in Hong Kong? So these elections told a fascinating story, and here's a report from Fox News. Anti-government protesters prevailed on Sunday after polls closed in Hong Kong and pro-democracy candidates clinched nearly half of the seats on the ballot. So far, pro-democracy candidates have won 269 out of 452 seats in 18 district council races, while pro-Beijing forces, who previously held 73% of the seats, have only won 30. Voters came out in droves with 71% turnout, up from 47% 4 years ago in the same elections, according to the Electoral Affairs Commission. All right, so it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible what happened over this weekend and the message it sent, not only to Beijing, but to people that support democracy, that support Hong Kong, and that support freedom. And here's more from Fox News. This is a political annihilation for Beijing, and it's going to have consequences that are going to reverberate not just in Hong Kong itself, but perhaps in China as well, Asia analyst and foreign affairs journalist Gordon Chang said to Fox News' American News HQ Sunday. The history-making victory for pro-democracy candidates in the elections marked a win in what has largely been seen as a referendum on the protest movement and China's response to it. So it's incredible, folks. It's incredible what these people have done, not only in the summer protests and leading in the fall, but to mobilize that sentiment and take it to the ballot box and send a message there as well. It is just it's an exciting event for freedom around the world. And I'm just so happy about it. And I wanted to make sure and bring that news because so many of these protests have gone overlooked. The media is not covering what's going on. And these elections are big, big news. So folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. And we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends, And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.